that I already had pretty much laid out, and praying about it and calling the sick that I should preach. And on Sunday night, going home, I saw everything changed. So I kind of got to give you the story, the background, and then we'll get preaching here. And I left Sunday night, and I was kind of feeling pretty sick, so I was getting home. Getting home was a miracle in itself. So, and I was going home, and I got home, thank God. And I got in, and I was just doing a little bit of small talk with my parents, trying to. And so I figured it was about maybe 10 minutes I got home. I found out I was not going to stay down. So I decided that I better go to the bathroom and let things take their course. And so I got there, and I was kind of kneeling over the porcelain throne. And I said, God, just get this over with. I hate this. Let's just get it over with, and we'll be done. And so I'm kneeling there, and boy, bam, before I know it, the up first surge comes up. And man, it's so in the first, after the first surge, the verse in Revelation 3:16 came to my mind, and talking about the spewing out of your mouth. And I said, and I had just enough time to think about that, and then the second surge came. So, and I was, and then in between the second and the third, I had a little time to think about it, and God was trying to tell me, well, this is what I think a lot of what you're doing. And I said, God, take it easy on me, or I'm sick. So I proceeded to, again, volley it out, and on the fourth time around, fourth and final time, I finally got the message that this is where God wanted me to preach out of for Sunday. So, tonight, I'd like you to turn your Bible to Revelation 3. But it was quite an enjoyable experience. I don't know if I should thank Pete for that or not. Well, Revelation 3, verse 14. We'll start with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And that's important to notice there, because this is a faithful word we'll be reading. These are true words in here in the next few verses. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and naked, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightst be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And that's important there, we've been talking about in Sunday school, that your eyes might see. And I hope that tonight, that your eyes might be open to what I have to preach. And let's go to God in prayer and ask His blessing. Dear Lord, I thank you for this. Pray that you give me the tongue to speak what you'd have me to say, your spirit would move, and that I'd be a blessing here this evening. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't go out of here. I don't know about you, but spewing, we'll call it, I think, for now, is not the most comfortable thing to do. And I found that out in full force last Sunday. But God doesn't mess around with a lot of our works. He doesn't get a headache over them and lay in bed over them. He just gets it over with. He spews it out, and it's over and done with. And I believe a lot of Christians today are lukewarm in their works and their attitude towards God. I'm not here to emphasize our lukewarmness, because most of us know that a lot of what we do is the guise of something else for our own glory, and that's a lot of lukewarm. But I want to emphasize tonight that how to avoid, or how to get out of your lukewarm state. And I'd like you just to pay attention. And we all know that we're lukewarm, but there's more to be done than be a lukewarm Christian in this world today. God has things that need to be done, and He can't use, like I'll get in here in a minute, He can't use lukewarm Christians to get that done. And I need you to give you a reason or a desire to get out of your lukewarm state. So before I get into what causes lukewarmness or the cure, I'd like to give you a desire, something to shoot for to get out of your lukewarm state, and why it's important not to be lukewarm. And number one reason, and the most important reason, is that it makes God sick. If anything else, that should be the most important reason why we're not lukewarm. Because it makes God sick. And why should He care? He can find someone else to use. But you being lukewarm, or me being lukewarm, as I found out over the throne there, as we're all in this boat together, and I can't preach to you without preaching to myself. And us being lukewarm gives occasion for the devil against God. He can talk to God and, oh boy, look at those Christians down there, man. You for them? Boy, they're pretty unthankful. Why'd you waste your time on doing that? That ought not to be. And as he says in Proverbs 27, verse 11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproaches me. Next time the devil comes up to God, he says, what about these Christians of yours? He needs someone. He says, there's one right there. He's on fire for me. But that was worth it all right there, what he's doing. But he's got to have someone to point. The number two reason why God wants us not to be lukewarm, like I said before, God can't use a lukewarm Christian for His glory and honor. He cannot send him somewhere to preach His gospel, someone that's not willing to forsake all and go preach the gospel. He can't use someone that's hot and on fire for Him. And the third reason why He wants you not to be lukewarm, because He hates to see, like any good father, He wants to see His son thrive. He wants to see His son succeed, be an honor to himself and to his family. You're not down here pleasing God. You're not hot for Him. You don't desire to go the whole way for Him. God doesn't want to be puking up all the time because of our actions. He wants to have fellowship with us. And that's why He sent His Son, that He might have fellowship with us. Not that we might make Him sick. So we need to understand that God needs, He doesn't need us, but He wants to use us. And for us to be used, we cannot be lukewarm. So tonight, I'd like to present the causes of lukewarmness. Then I'd also like to present the cures of lukewarmness. If I just came and told you all lukewarm, we're all lukewarm, and ripped you up and down the side of the other, you'd go out of here no better than you came in. So I'd like to present to you that indeed, at times, have lukewarm spells in our life, but I'd like to pray for those that we might be on fire for God and hot for Him our entire lives. Before I get into the causes and cures, I'd like to draw your attention and keep this mindset as I go through the causes and the cures, is that as we start out looking at the causes, they don't seem real, harsh, or obvious. They won't be obvious to you yourself, maybe, or even to people around you. But as we go down this list, I have seven of them, they're going to get to be more and more obvious to others, and to yourself, more and more deadly to your spirit. And like the pastor was talking about this morning about that soul stuff, this will do a whole lot better for you than what that guy has to say. This is where the soul gets cleaned here. The first cause or the symptoms of lukewarmness, carelessness. And as you can't run around this world just living your life the way you please. You can't be just running around like a chicken with its head cut off and not expect to run into a brick wall somewhere. And sin will meet you somewhere, if you're just running here and there and running around. It's going to catch up to you. And it says in the Bible, he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. And you need to be careful that you're not just going to do something just to do it because you feel like doing it. That's a careless attitude. Cure for that would be calculated thinking. We need to carefully be careful with the things that we do, to look ahead to see what those actions might cause in repercussions. We need to see if that action that we're going to do is going to lead us down the road that's going to make God sick, or the action we do that's going to make down the road to glorify Him. And if you get off here at the wrong road, you're careless, that's just going to lead down the symptoms of carelessness and lukewarmness, and it's going to be out the door for you. You want to head it off as soon as possible, this lukewarm stuff. And the second cause of lukewarmness would be contentment. And we need never be satisfied with where we are today. We always want to strive to be more for God than we are today. Because if we stop and say, oh, I gave out some tracts today, I'm doing pretty good. If we always just stop and never go the extra mile to witness to someone, we're going to stop with that, and sooner or later we're going to stop handing out the tracts, and sooner or later we're going to easing off of it instead of going forward. And if you don't press forward, you're always going to stop and then go backwards. And so we need not to be content. And the cure for contentment is a concerted effort. And like I said, we always need to strive to go forward. And it takes an effort to do that. It takes an effort to move forward. You don't get on a little conveyor belt and it takes you to drive forward. We're in a fight. This isn't like that one song, it's not a playground or whatever it is, it's a battlefield. And a soldier on the battlefield, in order to win, in order to go forward, he has to fight. And every day we're met with battles we need to fight in. And if we become content and want to get out of the fight because we can't handle the battles, then we're done. And we need not to sit back and enjoy the ease, like it says in that scripture, that we're rich and we're increased with good. The third reason, or the third cause for lukewarmness is compromise. And breeds compromise. Because if you start sitting back, you'll just let things go, and this conviction will go, and then that one, and then pretty soon, God will be throwing up when He looks at you. And there's just no fight there, no fight involved with compromise. The cure for compromise, though, is consecrated desire. Always desiring that your motives would be holy and pure before God. And in Proverbs 16:3, it's there, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. As long as you let the Lord control your life, and desire Him to control your life, well then you're heading down the right road, a Christian that's hot for God. And I go on to the fourth cause of lukewarmness, and that's a covering of casualties. And what that is, you start covering your sins. You recognize your sins, but you don't do anything about them. You just start turning the other way, and oh well, we'll get it next time maybe. And when you start turning your eyes away from your own sin, the devil's really got you tied up. When you start putting your sin behind the chair or sweeping under the rug, the devil's got you in his arms and he's ready to put you out in the back. And it says in Proverbs 15, verse 10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. And that's exactly what this line's going to do here. You'll see this causes will lead to eventual death. And in 31 and 32 of that same chapter, the ear that heareth reproof, the reproof of life, abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So if you despise instruction and reproof from God, you're headed down a road that is unglorifying to God. The cure for covering your casualties or looking over your sins is having a clear view of your heart and what it naturally is, what it'll naturally go to if you let it go. And that says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? You got to keep a check on that heart each day as to what you're doing. You're starting to cover them up. You need to get them out and say, yeah, this is what's going on. And if you don't, we'll get on here and we'll see some of the evidences of covering up your casualties. The fifth cause of lukewarmness, seated heart. And that comes with covering the casualties, is the conceited heart. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Once we think we're too good for God and His correction and His direction in our lives, you're in trouble. And we need to protect ourselves against that conceited heart, because God hates it. Because it says in Proverbs 6:17, and all these things the Lord hates, it says. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto the Lord. A proud look. A proud look, a lying tongue, and the hand that sheds innocent blood, and the heart there, that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that run, be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That all makes God sick. He hates to see that. The cure for the conceited heart is a contrite heart. I've heard Burley Gibbs say a couple of times, if you're going to be a good sinner, you need to be a good repenter. We need to repent of our sin. Once conviction comes, we need to not conceal it, but we need to correct the sin. We need to repent of it, about it, so that we might serve our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and all of our strength. It says in Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Be wise and refuse it not. And before, I think it's verse 13, it says, supposed to take heed to your reading and your doctrine. When you're reading God's Word here, this isn't just any normal book. It's a living book, and it speaks to those that want to hear. It speaks to those that are desiring to be cleansed. It speaks to those that are desiring to be corrected and led in the right way. And if we start neglecting and not taking heed to what God says in His Word, that's when we start coming with this conceited heart, which leads to this a cold conscience. And when you start building up that sin in your heart, it starts plugging things up. It's not free passage going through, just like a regular heart. You get that, was it arteriosclerosis or whatever? You're heading for a heart attack. And as you start building up that sin, that conscience and that heart starts getting really hard and really bitter. And God can't use that. And the Spirit at this time, sixth stage, is mighty grieved. God would look in there, he looked down and see the Christian. He's trying to make sure if this guy's a Christian. He gets down and he looks in there, his heart, and all you see is this Holy Spirit crouched in the corner trying to stay warm because it's such a cold heart. He's crouched in the corner. Over here, God. I keep trying to tell him, but he won't listen. It's getting kind of cold down here. You know what? He always stays there. He never leaves. And that's the good thing. I saw it last night, and I was looking over this. He'll never leave. even how cold it gets in there. There's always a spark that'll light the fire again. That's what we need to remember, is no matter how low we go, no matter how far in sin we go, there's always a spark there that'll get things running again, if you let it. The thing is, you need to let it. And that's the cure for a cold conscience, is conforming to God. And a heart that's soft and pliable will come from being conformed to God. And if we let the Spirit move, instead of getting crouched in the corner since it's so cold, things will warm up and God will be able to work in our life. 12, a verse that we all know, verse 1 and 2. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's holy. We're talking about consecrated desires. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says here, be not conformed to this world. It's conforming to God that allows His perfect will for our life to be. Without going His way, we're heading down a dark alley. And there's bound to be a couple thugs down there that are pillage you over and throw you out the other side. We need to be conforming to God instead of getting cold to God. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 26, My son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. If God can get our heart, He can really use us. But if we won't give Him our heart, He has nothing to work with. No, show Himself strong on our behalf, like the message the preachers preached a while back. Strong. But like I said before, He can't use someone with a cold conscience, a conceited heart. They're not wanting Him to be strong on His behalf. And the seventh symptom of lukewarmness is a product of the first six, of carelessness, compromise, covering your casualties, a conceited heart, and a cold conscience. What all comes from these six is number seven, carnality. Protect ourselves against that. Because like I said before, all that comes from carnality is lukewarmness. And all that comes from lukewarmness in God's side is something that's only worth flushing down the toilet. If we're not careful, we'll end up here unusable to God, and all that He can say to us is blah, instead of here I got something for you to do. The cure, on the other hand, the seventh, is combining, building up to these first six from a calculated thinking, a concerted effort, consecrated desires, a clear view of our heart, a contrite heart, and conforming to God, one that God can direct, one that God can use, because it's God's love in us, not our own love, but it's God's love in our heart that He can use. Instead of bringing a blah to God, we can bring a blessing to God and let Him use us. And the verse that pretty much sums this all up, what I've been trying to say, is found in 1 Corinthians 3. And we'll start in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, that Holy Spirit in there, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man that take heed how he buildeth thereon, thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every work, every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That's what we're talking about there, is the charity side. If anything goes through the fire, it's because we've been conforming to God and letting Him use our life. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet as so by fire. Yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And that suffering loss is the other side. And I don't know about you, but I want to have more coming through the fire than that's getting burned up by the fire. I want to be more of a blessing to God than everything getting flushed down the toilet. I want to come up and hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant, instead of, whew, I'm glad that's over with. He's perfect now. I don't have to look at what he was doing down. And I'd like to emphasize that it's never too late, like I said before, to turn around. There's never a time when God doesn't desire to use his son. There's never a time when he doesn't turn back to him. And the longer you let the lukewarm set in, the farther you get down this road of contentment and conceitedness and carnality, the harder it will be to turn around. And the farther you go down, just like any other disease, just like cancer, if you know you have cancer and you let it go untreated, it's eventually going to eat you up inside. So we need to seek the cure for lukewarmness. Because God says, this church age now he's talking about, is lukewarm. Why don't we desire to be a blessing to him and desire to be on fire for God, be hot for God? Now, kind of a thought towards the end. When I got finished in the bathroom on Sunday night, everyone told me they could hear me. They said, all over the whole house, we could hear you. Would to God that we could hear him up there puking his guts out. Would to God that it would prevent some of the paths we're taking. If we could just get a first time, okay, we'll go this way. But that's not how it is. We need to, every day, desire to be pure in his eyes. Because that's the only way we'll get to charity. That's the only way we'll get to godliness. Every day, every hour, every minute given to God. Because if we get careless with our thoughts, careless with our actions, lead on to the other six that I mentioned. An unusable Christian. We got a church here, the desire to be used, but we need to make a concerted effort to be able to be used. God needs clean vessels to use. So I'd like to encourage you to seek the Savior every day, blessing to him each day. Because he's done so much. Strive to be a blessing. Strive to be used for him. We'll have a little bit more there than just the bucket God used each day. We need to be on our guard, just like today. We're under attack. Pastor was talking. We're under attack. And today, if we don't make a concerted effort not to be lukewarm,